Good afternoon and welcome to Living Permaculture on KDNK. I'm Vanessa Harmony of Colorado Edible Forest Nursery and Consulting in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Today's guest is a bright ray of light in the field of permaculture design. Luby McNamara is an author, designer, gardener, song leader, mother, and artist. Her five books are People in Permaculture, Caring and Designing for Ourselves, Each Other, and the Planet, Seven Ways to Think Differently, Embrace Potential, Respond to Life, Discover Abundance, Cultural Emergence, a Toolkit for Transforming Ourselves and the World, which is also available as an empowerment and design card deck, Strands of Infinity, Poetry to Reconnect, and most recently, Design Adventures, Discover a Creative Framework for Effective Change, which we'll discuss today. Luby is co-founder of the Global Cultural Emergence Movement with the vision to accelerate global cultural transformation towards a peaceful, connected world to bring people and planet into alignment for a positive, regenerative future, and the mission to offer a profoundly effective toolkit to challenge and awaken, move and invigorate, nourish and empower individuals and communities. She is also a partner of the International Mother Nature Project, Empowering Mothers as Natural Leaders. Luby grows food, communes with nature, and hosts students and visitors from all over the world at Applewood Permaculture Center, a 20-acre small holding and teaching and demonstration site in Herefordshire, United Kingdom. She is a contributor to Earth Pathways Diary and Permaculture Magazine. Luby, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Well, Luby, it seems like an important shift in your career was the transition to teaching and designing for human interactions and culture, and not just for physical sites. You make the point that not everyone has access to land. We all have access to people. Can you tell us more about that transition?
Yes, it definitely was a pivotal moment. So I'd been teaching permaculture for a few years and realized that the big shifts with permaculture thinking and permaculture training are often within us and how we see the world, how we perceive our contribution to the world. And it can be little shifts within our own homes, within how we interact with our friends, with finding our purpose, and so, and with our own health and well-being. And those shifts can be hugely transformational, much beyond what happens in the garden. And for a long time, people had been saying, oh, permaculture design, you can use it for any aspect of your life, any system. And it's like, but where's the literature on that? Where's the, you know, the guidance on how to do that? Because at that time, like all of the literature on permaculture, all of the books were about land-based permaculture, which is incredibly important and valuable, of course. And there's so much more that permaculture can offer to people and people that don't have access to land. And even the projects that are land-based, actually the biggest limits that they face are the people. And that can be the, in your own garden, of like having the health and the motivation to go and garden. It can be the relationship dynamics with your partner or in your community or with your neighbours, all the way up to international politics. So when we have limits in permaculture, we turn them around into building blocks. So if people dynamics are our limits, then improving our people care skills and communication and decision making becomes the needs of the design. And so as a movement, that is the needs that we have to increase those skills for land-based projects as well as for everyday life and all the different aspects that we can use permaculture principles and design in. So after a while of realizing this and thinking, hey, I wish someone would write a book on people care, and why isn't someone doing it? And then sort of like thinking, maybe I need to do this. And so that became my pathway to writing People and Permaculture, which came out in 2012. So it's been quite a while now since it's been moving and shaking in the world.
Wonderful. Well, moving on to your latest book, Design Adventures, you describe a design web that is a framework to design literally anything. Firstly, I love how the web framework creates a design landscape where you can hop from one place to the other and be set free from a sequential design process. Even though I learned permaculture design was a process that was certainly cyclical, I feel like the design web supports even more creative freedom. So you write, from tangled threads of confusion, indecision, and procrastination, a new and beautiful tapestry of clarity, direction, and motivation has emerged. What was the process like for you creating this web framework after years operating without it?
So this actually started when I was writing People and Permaculture, and I hadn't set out to create a new framework when I was writing, but I wanted to move away from some of the less poetic versions of the acronyms that we had and find a new version. And so I was drawing out on paper, I was like thinking of different words for like visioning or goals or dreaming or aims, and like playing with different words for different kind of steps of the process. And then I was also thinking about, well, do your ideas come before your vision, or where's the reflection process, or where what's the relationship between limits and action? And so I just started drawing out the different flows, thinking I was like going to come up with this beautiful acronym, but then I was just looking at the paper and going, This is not linear. This is a web. These things are all connected, and that you can flow in any direction. So that was a complete eureka moment for me. And from that, then I started actually using the design web to design the design web, quite a meta process that involved also me looking at spider webs and seeing what are they doing when they're weaving their webs, and they have these anchor points that they hold their webs onto and then weave amongst them. So that was the idea that for the naming of the stages as anchor points, that each of these anchor points hold the information of the design, and then it's the weaving amongst the anchor points that actually create the holistic design. And so I was using the more than human world information, and then I was using my body's information, and then I was playing with it with simple designs and asking other people to. And it was still quite new, but when People and Permaculture came out and went out into the world, the design web was really what people grasped onto, and was just like, wow, this is amazing, and doing all sorts of designs that I hadn't foreseen. You know, it's like, oh, I knew you could use it for anything, but then people were using it to learn a language, or be a carer for their elderly parents, or all sorts of things. And so then Design Adventures has come out of that, sort of like, okay, well, now there's been over a decade of wisdom of people trying and testing the design web, and not just myself, but many people that have been on the courses and readers and people doing their permaculture diploma. So many other people have been using the design web. So then the Design Adventures came out of a like, well, okay, let's share more about it, and the things that maybe people were finding tricky was just like, let's explain those more, and let's bring in the more than human world more, and the cultural emergence principles that have evolved in between those two things. So there's yeah, so it's a it and I set myself quite a an interesting challenge to make it both a beginner friendly book, that so people don't have to have read any of my other books or have heard about the design web or heard about permaculture or cultural emergence at all, so totally beginner friendly, and at the same time to make it a learning journey for people who have already used the design web a lot and how to increase their skills and knowledge about the design web through the book. So I set myself those two design challenges, and I do feel like I've met those actually with the book, with the support, of course, of my editing team, my publishers at Permanent Publications, who they are publishers of the Permaculture magazine, which I'm sure you're aware of. So with their support and good editing, I think we managed to achieve those two aims.
I love it. Yes, it's a very universal guide. And I was also fascinated by the case studies contributed by people who have been using the design web. So to explain this for our listeners, Luby's web framework has 12 anchor points: vision, helps, limits, patterns, ideas, principles, integration, action, momentum, appreciation, reflection, and pause. Within these anchor points are the permaculture design techniques we've all been taught, so to speak, but in a new and creatively stimulating framework. Can you describe the process for our listeners and possibly the 12-page process?
Yeah, so as I said, it's a non-linear process. So people can step into that design process at any moment. Maybe they have a health limit that comes in and they have to do some redesigning of their workspace, or a new idea that comes about, or maybe they start with reflection and realize that, yeah, they need some redesigning in their life, or their business, or their relationship, or project, or just one part of their life, or using it for very small designs as well, I think is so valuable. And so you can start at any process, and then you can use different modalities of inquiry in there, of it. So it can be, supportive, insightful questions in there. You can journal, you can go for a walk, you can talk with friends, you can do artwork, you can use nature connection practices, you can use the permaculture design tools within them, and from what emerges then it takes you to the next step. Maybe you're in limits, and then you're like, oh, okay, there's some patterns, some unhelpful patterns here. So you move to patterns, and then from patterns, you're like, okay, well, actually, now I think I can set up some patterns of momentum and maintenance. So you move over there, and then it starts weaving together. And then there's quite a magical process, really, that... Yeah, it's not quite clear how or when it happens, but at some point in the process, there's like this emergence of the design, of all these strands of insight and questioning that come together that give you solutions, that give you starting points, as well as maybe sometimes giving you the big picture, and they unlock processes for you. I call them golden keys that come about, where you're suddenly realizing something. So I'll give you a very small example of this. When I was doing a small design recently and taking people through it online, of a design for a day of less something or of more something. So it could be, okay, less sugar or less social media, something you're trying to cut down on, or more music playing or more nature connection. So I chose a design for playing more music. So it was a quick design on a 2-hour Zoom call. I was leading other people through the process as well. So it was just a couple of minutes on each of the anchor points. And on limits, I just put, I'm a bit bored. I'm like just playing the same things over and over again. And then it was like, oh, yeah, of course, your need is to increase your skills. You need to go and actually learn, whether that's through YouTube videos or getting a teacher. But it was just like this unlock of like, oh, that's why you're not playing music, because you've hit a plateau in what you can do. And I need to unlock that and go and learn new skills. So it was a very simple thing. But that realization wasn't there before with me. It was only through doing this process and saying, okay, what are my limits? Why am I not doing this? Because it's not that I haven't got instruments or, you know, and obviously everyone says time and money when we say, what are your limits? But it's like, well, yes, time, but actually, why am I not making the time for it? It's like, oh, because I'm a bit bored, because I don't have the skills. So it was a very small example of how one insight then unlocks the design. And then it's like, okay, that's what you need to do. And it progresses from there. So, yeah, so the 12-page download that you referred to is a process I do where I have 12 pieces of paper. Sometimes for smaller designs, it's less than that, but one for each anchor point. And you're just kind of getting your thoughts out there. And usually when you step into a design, you've kind of been thinking about this for a while. It's been in the back of your mind. You know, maybe you've been pondering it. Maybe you've been going around in circles around it, tying yourself up in some mental loops, or maybe just not giving it attention, and it's just been kind of dwelling in the back of your consciousness. But when you do the 12-page download, you're just getting that information out, and even just doing that can really give you results of like, oh, now I see, now I'm clear what my vision is. Now I'm clear that I've got all these helps, these supports that can help me achieve my vision. And so even just doing that process can really unblock some stagnant energy and move you forwards with your design.
I love it, to find your golden key or your aha moment. Well, whether intentionally or not, we're all designing every day. And a concept I appreciated from your book was the idea of scales of designs that match our needs, attention, and capacity. Can you tell us about the scales of design?
Yeah, so it's really that thing of like, well, you've got the carpentry tools, but if you don't know how to use them, then someone says, okay, let's go for it, let's build a house. It would be overwhelming. So you want to start with something small. You want to start with a bird box or putting up a shelf, something small that builds your skills. So that's the same with designing. You know, we can do really impressive designs for businesses, for like conferences with hundreds of people, for manifesting our home here, Applewood Permaculture Centre. So this design web can be used for really big things, but you want to build momentum to get there and build your skills and build your awareness of how it works and the feedback loops and yourself as a designer. Because we each have our own design skills, as you said there, we're all designing every day, but we each do that in a different way. And when we become aware of what our needs are, do we need to see the bigger picture? Do we need the details? Do we need to feel it in our body? Do we need to see it visually? All these different ways in which we work as designers. And the more small scale designs that we do, the more we can build up our skills to get to those bigger designs. I've also got a course, online course of designing your week ahead. And that's great because you do a design for your week ahead and your week happens. You can't avoid it. You can't go, oh, well, I didn't quite get round to it. It's like, no, the week happens. how did the design influence your week? And so by doing these small, what I call microgreen designs, so when we have the microgreen vegetables, there's we sow the seed and then harvest in the matter of days, and we get these like really nutrient dense energy kicks from those microgreens. And it's the same with microgreen designs. It's because we do them in a short cycle. So you might do your design for your week ahead, a couple of hours at the weekend, you've got your week, the end of the week, you can reflect and go, well, what worked there with my design? What helped? What supported me? What do I need to do more of next time? What did I learn about the design web? Oh, patterns are really interesting, you know, and the design helped me to stay really optimistic this week and gave me more energy because I had more optimism. And so then I was able to do more, which then gave me more of a sense of well-being. And so then I've created a really positive spiral, and that supported me, and now it's given me more optimism to do more designing. So that's one of the scales, is to do like the microgreen designs. And then there's other designs. So you might be designing for something, which I could like think of a fruit design of, like, I'm designing for a course or a book or an event or something that's very tangible that you're designing for, and it's like your fruit. Or then there's other designs which are like a root design, which are like something that's going to feed you and support you, like designing for your health and well-being or your effectiveness or your group dynamics, that you need that solid foundation for other things to flow more easily. So those are some of the different types of designs you might be doing.
Yes, like me preparing for our interview today was a fruit design.
Yes. Did you do a design for that?
As I was going through the book, when you had me lay out the 12-page download, that was what I used as the basis for my fruit design.
Great. And then that's going to be a really short cycle of doing the design, implementing it, learning from it, which is going to give you lots of learning and hopefully momentum for more designs.
Right. It's also a bit of a roots design, since the program reaches a lot of people and on both our ends, and hopefully will inspire others.
Yes. Yeah. So it self-seeds and goes forward. Lovely.
Well, toward the end of the book, you provide guidance for readers and designers who might be using the design web for health and well-being, creating a culture of effectiveness, an event, a land-based design, which is what permaculture designs are traditionally thought of, a large-scale conceptual visionary design, and you also talk about coaching using the design web. So once you get in the habit, would you say these design strategies become second nature?
Yeah, definitely. You start seeing, even in like conversations with people, it's like, oh, they're talking about their patterns now, or they're like limits coming up, and so you can start shaping them and guiding them through the anchor points, even very subtly. Like, okay, you've talked about limits, but what resources do you have? What are your helps? So you can start moving people through the design web, even in a very informal way.
Right. And I'm a very visual person, so when you're saying that, I'm imagining in my mind I could even be painting my own design web in my brain.
Yeah, lovely.
Luby McNamara offers cultural emergence, permaculture, teacher training, and specialist courses online and on-site at Applewood Permaculture Center. For more information, our listeners can register for Luby's online and on-site courses at applewoodcourses.com, learn about the Mother Nature Project at mothernatureproject.org, and learn about the Cultural Emergence Project at cultural-emergence.com. This is also where you can find the entire suite of Luby's books and card decks available for purchase directly from the author. Luby can be reached by email at applewoodcourses@yahoo.com. And she has a YouTube channel. Luby, are you also on social media?
I am, although slightly erratically.
Yeah, I'm erratic on there as well.
Yeah, that's an ongoing design of how to stay sane in the social media world. Right. But yeah, the best thing for people to do is sign up to my newsletter, and then you also get the Culture Emergence Principles colouring book, and you can get access to free calls and other ways to engage.
Lovely. Well, Luby McNamara, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, exemplifying and weaving the interconnected web of cultural transformation to join us today.
Yeah, it's been lovely to talk about it, and it's activated my inner designer as well. I've kind of like through this conversation gone, oh yeah, actually, I might do another design on this. And yeah, I've thought of many other designs I can do.
Hey. And thank you also to our listeners for joining us today. I'm your host, Vanessa Harmony of Colorado Edible Forest in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. We'll hear the rest of my interview with Luby McNamara on next month's episode. In the meantime, I want to make sure our local listeners are aware of some upcoming events. Carbondale Dandelion Day is being celebrated on Saturday, May 9th, 2026, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Soper's Park in Carbondale, Colorado. It's the annual spring festival to celebrate environmental stewardship and sustainability. Colorado Edible Forest will have a booth selling fruit trees, berry bushes, nitrogen-fixing shrubs, and edible or otherwise useful herbaceous perennial plants, and there will be fun for the whole family, including live music, a parade of species, and local vendors selling arts, crafts, and plant starts. Also in Carbondale, Colorado, on Saturday, May 2nd, you can celebrate Arbor Day with the Carbondale Tree Board. You're invited to join in a tree planting celebrating 32 years of Carbondale, Colorado being a Tree City, USA. Participants will meet at 10 o'clock a.m. at Hendrick Dog Park. Our town arborist, Cara Meineke, will be there to answer questions about tree care and choosing the right tree for the right place in Carbondale, Colorado. Tune in next month on KDNK on the third Monday of the month at 4 p.m. for another episode of Living Permaculture. We'll talk to you then. I taste the milk and honey before all the streets. Oh, pay.